Thank you. How great thou art on Reformation Sunday. Good morning. Welcome to worship today. It's nice to have you here. Reformation Sunday, October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther, nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church, and that started the Reformation of the Church. Read about it. I think we'll go there, because that's a long, long lesson, but maybe I would encourage each one of you to look at your lives today, and if there's places that we can reform, today would be a good day to begin. Thanks so much to everybody who helped out with the bazaar yesterday. Let's get an update on the receipts. We have Shar Berg, who was total, who oversaw the whole thing. And then we have Jan Phillip, who sold the raffle tickets. Oh, you're going to tell who won.
You bet I am. We got $1,531 going toward our mortgage, which is really a good amount. I believe it might be the most we've ever had. So thank you for everybody, either for purchasing or selling your tickets. The Old World Santa went to Mary Lehman. The Birch Bowl went to a Ted Smith. The Pottery Bowl went to Nancy Manning. The Hardanger Doilies went to Paula Spetz. And the Serving Bowl and the Jeweled Spoon went to Sandy McGivens, who's a former member of our church. Well, they're still members, but they don't live here.
I think we transferred them.
We transferred them, okay. Anyhow, thank you for everybody. Charlie.
I feel like this is a money changer's report.
It is.
When we stand in a circle and Pastor leads us in prayer before we start the bazaar, I always get goosebumps because there are at least 50 people standing in that circle that have all helped and will help, you know, in the following hours. So that's always a special time for me. And God was really smiling on us. The weather was beautiful. Okay, the crafts and bake sale together brought in $10,731. The raffle $1,531, I guess. Kitchen $722. People were eating. I thought we were going to have tables clear to the back. Wow, for eating, that was wonderful.
Turkey buns.
Turkey buns, yeah, they're really good. and the hot lefse, 120 pieces of hot lefse. That was a lot of rolling. To this point, at $13,105.29, and they will be continuing to sell between the services this morning. So thank you so very much.
Any discounts?
Some of them. The food.
The food?
Food. The rest of
jelly?
Is there still jelly out?
There's jelly
out. Okay. $3 instead of $4. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Char. If you heard Char and Barb on the radio, you guys are slick. Snake oil salesmen. People were coming from near and far. Anyway, it was a wonderful day. Thanks to everybody who participated. All the money that's raised is used to support local projects or other projects people have in their minds. So money has been given to us to make the world a better place, and the money that was raised yesterday is kind of a sidelight. It was the smiles and the people working together and the neighborhood getting together for fellowship. One other announcement. Next week, you get an hour extra sleep. I noticed it this year more than any year. The older you get, don't you like it lighter in the morning? Anyway, we get to sleep an extra hour. So move your clocks back, all right? And we started this a couple years ago. We don't have an offering played out for coffee, but thank you. But if you would like to bring a coffee can, that's one reason why. I don't like charging people for coffee. Coffee fellowship is a time to get together, join one another's company, but we need coffee. So if you go to the store this week and are able to buy an extra can of coffee, next week is the time we collect it, all right? Thanks. I think that's all Reformation Sunday, I've mentioned that. It's nice to have you here. Welcome. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, we gather as your children here on the corner of Mille Lacs Lake, 2012. We gather, and your hand has been on us through the eons of time to bring us here. And so we pray we are prepared to hear your word, that our hearts and our minds might be open to your wisdom and to your spirit. Allow us to seek you well, and we pray that you might come. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn this morning is O Christ the Same, hymn number 760. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Our inmost thoughts, their secrets none can hide.
Christ the Savior, whom our hearts are given. We bring our thanks for this sacrament. O Christ the Savior, pure in you see. Our life and love, our days and
turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you, and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the bell choir to sing their praises.
Thank you, Bell's Choir. That was lovely. The first reading for today is Romans 3, verses 19 through 28. Paul's words stand at the heart of preaching of Martin Luther and other Reformation leaders. No human beings make themselves right with God through works of the law. We are brought into a right relationship with God through the divine activity centered in Christ's death. This act is a gift of grace that liberates us from sin and empowers our faith in Jesus Christ. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Please join with me in reading the Psalm 46. And whenever you see the bold R, repeat the refrain, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea, though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation
of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, regard the works of the Lord.
Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
He still am,
and I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this Reformation Sunday is found in the 10th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 46th verse. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." They called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He's calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon, hymn 534. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Reformation Sunday, time to take a look at who we are in God's world and how we're acting, how we're responding to His love. I was tempted to have the ushers hand out a 3x5 index card this morning and ask you to write on that card one thing that you would like Jesus to do for you. Now please understand, I don't really believe in using our communication with God like a heavenly vending machine, asking God to fulfill our needs for wealth or good looks or victory for our alma mater, although the Gophers did win yesterday. God would doubtless fail to honor that kind of trivialization of our faith. But all of us have needs. Some deep, legitimate needs in our lives. Maybe some of us have a secret sin we're struggling with. It happens even among church people. We probably wouldn't want to write that sin on the card here and in public. Jesus knows about it, and you know about it. And we know the possible harm that might result from that sin if we don't do something about it. Secretly in our hearts, if not on that card, we might say, "Jesus, rip this sin out of me. I don't like it here. I don't want it here. I can't handle it here. Set me free." Unfortunately, some of us don't have the moral strength to pray that prayer. And someday we will likely be praying that God will rescue us from the consequences of that sin. Too bad. Too bad, but that's the way life is with us sinners, huh? Maybe you're in need of a particular kind of healing. Maybe it's a physical healing like Bartimaeus this morning, huh? Physical hurts are easy to identify. Sometimes
makes them easy to cure if we can identify it. Some diseases have no known cure. There's some things we just can't do anything about. Jesus might be your last hope, and so you might write on that card, "Please, Jesus, heal me of cancer, or heal me of heart disease, or whatever's tearing us apart." Jesus hears those prayers, I believe. Sometimes a miracle does happen. Some days we are cured. Our cancer will go away, or our heart will get strong again. We don't know why some miracles happen and some don't. If someone says they do, well, I'm not sure. We'll find out someday. I know that. But like 1 Corinthians 13 says, now we see in a mirror dimly, then we will see face to face. Or maybe you're struggling with a request for someone you know. So you might write down on that card, "Lord, my son is struggling right now, trying to overcome an addiction. Or my daughter is going through a hard divorce," or some other need like that. The needs of that people have seem almost endless sometimes. And we could write so many things on those cards. What would you have Jesus do if you prayed for someone else, someone you love? In our lesson today, our gospel lesson, we have a blind man, Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside. He's begging. Now, you don't like beggars. I don't like beggars. They make us uncomfortable. If we pass by them, we feel guilty. If we give them some support, some money, we wonder if they're going to use it to, for booze or buy raffle tickets. We don't know if we're taken advantage of. But imagine if you had no other source of income. I mean, if you were Bartimaeus, if you had no other source of income, what would you do? And they didn't have a goodwill that you could go and get cheap clothing. And they didn't have a lion's club where they would provide a cane and a guide dog and glasses. And they didn't have Social Security disability. I mean, they had nothing to fall back on. So Bartimaeus, that's you and me, we're out there and we're begging. And we don't like it so much. We don't like it very much at all. We wouldn't like begging. And so we sit there day after day after day after day, totally dependent upon the kindness of strangers. And some of those strangers aren't so kind. And some days it rains, and some days it snows, and some days we don't get anything, and we starve. And the gifts are meager, but still you're there because there's no other way to survive. That's the end of the line. That's the end of the line. Until one day you hear about a man named Jesus. Jesus is a healer, and he's passing by. And for one precious moment, you have a ray of hope. There's someone here who can help me. And so even though there's a large crowd all around this Jesus, suddenly you begin to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd says, "Shh, shh, you're making a spectacle of yourself. Be quiet." And that makes you holler all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Have you been there like Bartimaeus? Have you been at the end of your rope? People will tell you to be quiet. You're making too much noise. But we still pray, cry out because there's no other place we can turn. Some of you have been there. Some of you have been there. I know that. And you didn't have to worry about losing your sight maybe, but some other great problem had come in your life. It was something too big for you and something too big for your doctor or too big for your employer or too big for your spouse or too big for your pastor. And the only one who could help you was Jesus. And so you cry out, "Lord, please hear my prayer. Lord, please have mercy on me. There's no place else I can turn." If you've ever been where Bartimaeus was that day, if you've never been there, someday you will be. Someday you will be. I'm sorry to tell you that, but it's true. I believe it's true. Life takes some strange twists and turns. Some of you have already learned that. Some of you have already been at the end of your rope and cried out. And if you haven't been, sooner or later, you will be. Bartimaeus is shouting over the noise of this large crowd that had gathered around Jesus in this little town of Jericho. "Son of David, have mercy on me," he cries out. And then Mark tells us Jesus stopped. He hears that voice and he stopped. What a wonderful word of hope. Jesus stopped and said to those closest to him, call him. He's speaking of Bartimaeus. He not only stops but for Bartimaeus, but he calls him. There have been times when Jesus has stopped for me. Not all the time, of course. There have been times when I've sung that old gospel hymn, pass me not, O gentle Savior, do not pass me by. And I know in my heart of hearts, Jesus did stop for me. But then some days he just kept on walking by. And that's the way it is. That's how it felt. I know he did stop. But then I tell myself, he sees life a lot more clear than I do. Do I trust him? I do. And so we work it out. And it feels like he passed on by and there were no answers. My prayer wasn't answered in just the way I'd hoped for. I'm sure some of you have had that same kind of experience. But there have been times when I've called out and Jesus has stopped and called for me. Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus. People started nudging Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, cheer up. The Lord's calling you. And I love these next words. Mark tells us, throwing his cloak aside, Bartimaeus jumps to his feet and goes to Jesus. Bartimaeus wasn't going to let this opportunity pass him by. That's important to say. And that's important to understand because some people let life beat them down to the point that they simply quit trying. They throw up their hands and give up. And that's the worst thing you can do. An opportunity came for Bartimaeus to be more and to do more. And he jumped at the opportunity. So many people let life beat them down until they quit trying. I'm not being judgmental of them. Not at all. I'm simply imploring that each of us not to give up, not to throw in the towel. There's truth to the expression, where there's a will, there's a way. Life can go on. Life will go on. Things will get better. You will see light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus asks Bartimaeus when he comes to him, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, teacher, I want to see. And Jesus says, go. Your faith has made you well. Bartimaeus made a specific request of Jesus, and Jesus granted that request. Bartimaeus wanted his sight, and Jesus gave him sight. Now, I don't pretend to understand these kinds of miracles. I certainly don't know why Bartimaeus gets his sight and other people who are blind don't. I don't know why Jesus said to Bartimaeus, as well as to many others, your faith has healed you. And to some, we pray and cry out and nothing happens. Too many people feel guilty about the death of someone they know. If I'd only done this, if I'd only done that, my loved one would be alive. I don't believe that kind of thing happens. Life happens. Jesus promises he'll be there. God says, I love you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're going through, I'll give you my strength and my hope. And I'll take care of you if we trust him. As a pastor, I've seen too many wonderful Christians go through too many tragedies to entertain a thought that God chooses one and doesn't choose the other. He loves all of his creation. He loves you. And he loves me. And I believe Bartimaeus' determination to get well gave him a better shot at healing in the sense that faith played a role in his healing. And his belief in Jesus certainly contributed to psychological and a spiritual tool. But many people have had great faith in Jesus but experienced no such miracle. And it's a mystery. I mean, that's all I can say. With our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, I can say, with our priests, some things are mysteries. It's a mystery, but still I will pray for the sick and those who are hurting. And I believe that God will take care of them in one way or another. God works where he wills, and I trust God. And so Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus says, I want to see. Go, your faith has healed you. Jesus says. And immediately, Mark tells us, Bartimaeus receives his sight and followed Jesus along the road. We think that's the end, but I think that that's the real miracle here. Here is the important miracle, right here. After his healing, Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus. He was so grateful for what Christ had done for him, and he followed Jesus forever and ever. What's so miraculous about that? I'll tell you what's so miraculous about that. There are so many people who have been gifted by God in so many ways, and they've ignored God altogether. They've walked away altogether. Let me ask you a question. Who's better off? Would it have been better to have been Bartimaeus, who spends all of his growing up years until he's maybe 30, 32 years old, like that, blind, and then receives his sight? Or, like most of us, to have the precious sight all of our life long and take it for granted? Now, Bartimaeus, he's thankful, but 30-some years, blind. You and I, we've seen, we have been fortunate. Who's more fortunate? I think you know the answer. And why aren't we following Jesus with all kinds of gratitude for what he's done for us? And I know some of us are. I pray most of us are. I pray all of us would. But some of us are just going through the motions. Might say that some of us are Bartimaeus before he was healed. We too are blind, spiritually blind. I began this message asking what you would have Jesus do for you. Someone in this room needs to answer with Bartimaeus, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see my own sinful pride. I want to see my spiritual neglect. I want to see the person of gratitude and joy I could be if I surrendered myself to you. I want to see. We're going to sing our next hymn written by a lady named Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby could see. Oh, not with her physical eyes. When Fanny Crosby was 6 weeks old, she had an eye infection. Her doctor was out of town. She went to the doctor's office, and a man posing as a doctor gave her the wrong treatment, and she went blind. Within days, she was blind. When she was only 8 years old, she wrote this poem. She wrote, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." Instead of feeling bitter and feeling sorry for herself, instead of blaming the doctor for his sin against her and dwelling in spiritual, emotional darkness all her days, Fanny Crosby used the gifts that God had given to her. And she wrote over 8,000 hymns and poems to praise and glorify God. And they're wonderful tunes. Fanny Crosby saw things that other people do not see, even though she was physically blind. She saw God's love for her in spite of her infirmity. She saw that her life still had value and that she could be a productive member of society. Fanny Crosby could see more than many of us could. And so, what would you have Jesus do for you? That's the question today. How about helping you to see how fortunate you really are and to see all the productive and loving things that you could be doing with your life? It's Reformation Sunday. Time to reform and rethink how we live, how we act, how we give, how we love, how we treat one another. Reformation Sunday 2012, something to think about. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Let's join in singing 335, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. The congregation, please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let us pray. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for the daily blessings of life, for food and family, for friends and neighbors, for the gift of life itself, we give you thanks. Bless these offerings of our treasure, that they may be used wisely in your service. As disciples of Christ Jesus called to love and serve all people, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. God of the new covenant, in the waters of baptism you claim us as your own. Shower the church with your Holy Spirit, that the church will become as one as we are one with you. Lord, in your mercy. God of creation, nourish the earth to provide enough food and clean water for all. Teach us to share these resources that no one hungers or thirsts. Lord, in your mercy. God of peace, bring an end to conflicts and wars around the world. Shatter the fear we have of people different from us, and break down all that separates us from you and one another. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, quiet the fear and anxiety of those in need, the unemployed, homeless, persecuted, and all who are ill or suffering. We especially remember in our prayers this morning Dean Newman, Ivan Peterson, Arlene Westerland. We pray for your comfort to be with Mary England and her family as they mourn the loss of Mary's brother, and be with those who we name in our hearts before you. Grant them peace and healing, for you are their refuge and strength. Lord, in your mercy. God of freedom, make this congregation a place of forgiveness and reconciliation. Empower our faith so that we witness to your truth that liberates us from sin. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Fathers, for the blessing of these past days. Thank you for your presence yesterday at the bazaar and for all the willing workers and all who gathered in this place. We trust that your Spirit was here. We ask your presence to be with those on the East Coast who will suffer the ravages of Hurricane Sandy. Watch over them and keep them safe. And Lord, be with our loved ones this day, wherever they find themselves. All your holy angels to protect them and keep them in your loving care. Eternal Word of Life, we give you thanks for the reformers of every generation who have passed on the faith to us. Keep us steadfast in your word until we join them around your throne. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, faithful God, and renew us by your Spirit, that we may joyfully love and serve you and one another through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 504. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse.